Welcome to the JetAds Growth Engine Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Williams, and I'm super excited to be here today with Taylor Frazier from Outway, which is a Victoria, BC local company. So really excited to have Taylor on the podcast and hear Outway's growth story. So Taylor, thanks so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So Taylor, as we get started here, why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself and your, journey with Outway, and then tell us about Outway and what you guys are up to.
Yeah, well, my name's Taylor Frazier. I'm the head of marketing for Outway. We're a performance sock brand based out of Victoria, BC, and we make the world's comfiest and versatile socks for active lifestyles. They have really fun, cool designs, or, you know, some of the more simpler stuff, but our goal is to become like the yoga pant for the feet. And we sell mainly direct to consumer with our online store on Shopify. And it's been great. We've been around since 2016 in Victoria. We're still headquartered there. And I've been with the brand for coming up on 5 years now. So my role has been marketing the entire time. I do have a background in more of the technical side, like web development and things like that. So I do take on a lot of the e-com role and the merchandising. But for the most part, my job is around storytelling with the brand, email, SMS marketing, the media buying, and just making sure that the products are on the site and everything is, you know, working correctly. So, we've experienced a really cool growth pattern. 2016, we started with mainly just going to events, very grassroots, all bootstrapped, and grew to, you know, fairly decent size given there was not a lot of marketing spend. And so when I came in 2019, the goal was to start to actually spend money in performance marketing. I had some background in doing that, Facebook ads, things like that. And so then we started to actually put budget into performance marketing, and the company grew even more. And then during the pandemic, it just really accelerated the business. The thing being that we had this perfect product that you couldn't really try on in a retail setting. It was just a great purchase for people during the pandemic. A lot of people were at home or locked down, and they were going outside to do their workouts. And so we just had this amazing product to sell during the pandemic. So we actually had a huge growth during that. And then we just kept the momentum up when we left it. It was great. So this year, having a really good year this year so far. And so it's been a really wild, fun ride with lots of lessons. And I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, awesome. It's really interesting to hear that, the yoga pant for feet.
That's kind of Rob's thing, but I love it. It's like, that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. And we were talking a little bit before this. You know, I'm obviously a big fan of the socks. I've been buying them since 2021. I was just saying the ones I have on now are coming near the end of their life, but I really enjoy the socks. And I've said this to Rob before and other people at Outway, but you know, I don't really care what the rest of my clothes looks like. I wear like a white t-shirt and jeans or shorts. And I'm like, but my socks, they got to pop. And I love the Outway designs. And there's a couple new designs I was looking on the site today. So, really recommend that people do check them out. One of the things that I wanted to talk about, you know, you're talking about a growth story and things are going well. But not too long ago, you had to go through a name change. And I still sometimes call them, I'll just say by the other name. But can you talk a little bit about that and how you worked through that challenge and how you're now seeing some growth coming out of that?
Yeah, we had to change our name, you know, based off of some legal things. We were sort of forced into it, but it presented a really cool opportunity because then we were, you know, a few years into the brand and able to almost start fresh in a way, like clean the slate and really figure out who we were as a brand and, you know, emerge with this new identity. So there was obviously the worry of, you know, you build up so much goodwill with the old name. But mm-hmm. I think our guess was, you know, people really like the product and they really like the designs and they like kind of what we stand for as a brand. So it didn't really matter what name we had as long as everything else remained the same. So we made sure we were really transparent with our customers that said, you know, let them know we are changing our name, but ultimately it's going to be all the products that you've come to know and love. So it was really well received. We thought there would be a little bit more of a downturn and just people not being able to find us, but we actually didn't really notice a lot of material impact to the brand as far as that goes. We were able to kind of almost do like a a really quick backdoor switch, and then all of a sudden, you know, people are like, oh, it's Outway. And the beauty is too, we're acquiring so many new customers. So when new customers see us, they never knew who we used to be, right? If you go look up a brand right now, it's not like you knew who they used to be. So that was kind of the upside. And we have a really, really supportive, loyal customer base. So they were very understanding of it all and very supportive. So it was actually really a seamless transition. And yeah, it's, I can't believe it's already been years now since, but
Yeah. And so, you know, maybe you can take us back to 2016 as well. I know you maybe you weren't with the company, but I'm sure you know the story, and talk about, you know, that journey from, you know, 2016 to now 2024 and what that growth has been like over that time.
Yeah, I think I have pretty good context with 2016. I'm related to Rob, the founder and CEO. He started it, you know, basically by himself and a friend in 2016. Grew it quite rapidly, just very grassroots. So it was like very cool to be on the sidelines watching that happen in real time. A lot of it just kind of came from, you know, going to different events, you know, running events, riding events, showing up basically with a tent, selling the socks out of effectively the trunk of his car. And so I think it was a very scrappy start, but we've never really lost that, you know, ability to be scrappy. And we take that into everything that we do. And so it's been built on like a really strong foundation of people genuinely liking the product. And that was what was really important to Rob was, you know, it's not just about the logo and the brand name and how cool the website is, but like, do people actually really enjoy the product? Are they coming back? And that was like actually innovating the sock and making a really, really solid product was the foundation for the company. And we see that in the numbers too, because we have like incredibly high return customer rates, which just, you know, speaks volumes to the product itself. So that's just really allowed us to just keep going. And we're, you know, now, you know, 7-8 years into business right now and, you know, not showing any signs of slowing down.
Awesome. I love that. I love to hear that. And, you know, I've heard lots of good things happening over at the Outway, you know, production there. I'm quite often in the area where your guys' office is. So I see you guys working away in there. You mentioned ads and email. Can you talk a little bit about the digital marketing side and some of the things that have worked for you over the years, you know, whether it's SEO or Facebook, Google, email, whatever it might be that has really started to drive some scalable growth for you?
Yeah, we actually, people are very surprised. We actually keep it very, very simple. We have actually quite a small team for our size. We have a base, effectively a 3-person marketing team at this point with, you know, a couple part-time contracted helpers. So we really stick to what we're good at and what actually drives sales. We used to try different channels, you know, we would try, you know, Reddit and TikTok and do a lot of branded stuff on Google Ads. And really what was driving the sales for us was Meta. So we focus 90% of our attention to Meta and maybe 5 to 10% on Google Ads. And even with Google Ads, we're not even actually running any branded stuff. We run all non-branded. And what that means is that we're not purchasing our own keywords. We're not, you know, out there trying to run advertisements. If you look up Outway socks or anything like that, we're only running ads if you're looking up performance socks or athletic socks or socks for men, socks for women, things like that. So we really do focus a lot on acquisition and reach. So everything that we do in the marketing side, we have our SMS and our email and our social channels that basically communicate with our retained audience. And we always make sure we nurture them and we build brand around that. But as far as like actually growing, everything is poured into Meta ads. So we obsess over audience testing. We obsess over creative iteration, creative testing in the account. And we're just constantly trying to scale and monitor how many more people we're reaching and how much frequency they're being reached. So there's definitely a really hard line in between our return audience and new customers in the top of the funnel.
Yeah, really interesting. I love that as a marketer, you use the term obsessed. I feel like that's what we do is we obsess over these things and, you know, try to figure out how to crack the code on certain things. And you have to be obsessed and relentless with it to really get the results that you want from your campaigns, you know, whether it's Meta or Google or whatever you might be doing from a digital standpoint. You really have to go deep on things. Can you talk a little bit about, because you mentioned this earlier, you know, that you really focus on new customers. So there's a level of, you know, new customer acquisition, as well as nurturing and managing the loyal existing customers. Can you talk about how you manage those two, because they can be quite different in how they act, but really help drive growth for a company like yours.
Yeah, I mean, I run the email and the SMS side of things, and I've done it for so long that it's like, it's just second nature to me. I can build and plan out emails and all that stuff and learn, you know, I know how to speak to those customers. It's just really like, it's like such an, like, it's a skill that I've acquired over the years where it's just very quick. So we kind of have like a way that we speak to customers in our email and SMS, how we treat them, and then kind of almost a different approach to our performance. It hasn't really been like a huge lift for us, just because the people that have been in the marketing team have just been around for so long. When you get a new person in, you can definitely tell the difference between someone that doesn't have a lot of context on the brand and what we do and who we are. And then when someone's been there for years, that they understand what we're trying to say. So really, like, what's made it possible to balance the two is really just like a lot of systems and just a lot of processes that we've built to make things super streamlined and efficient. We use like different platforms and apps that help us like do feedback loops very easily, go through different iterations and test things. And if you like saw everything that we did as a marketing team, most people would probably guess we have like 7 or 8 people when we really actually just have 3. If that answers the question.
Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds like a really efficient, talented group of people, you know, that are bought into the mission of the company and willing to do what it takes to get the results from your marketing efforts.
Yeah, it's also just really understanding what things to focus on. I talk to a lot of people from other brands, and everyone gets into these pitfalls. We did as well. It's all just part of the learning process, but really knowing what you should actually focus your attention on is so important. It's almost more important than the actual product, that like what you're putting out itself. A lot of companies will waste a lot of time, you know, going 7 or 8 layers deep into an email automation that's not producing any revenue, or they're trying to do collaborations or giveaways with brands that aren't actually producing, you know, good emails or, you know, like proper followers or anything like that. So we've kind of gotten into these things so many times that we've really been able to define what the things we actually need to focus on. And then when we have extra time, we can start to do those kind of more funner things or experiment a little bit. But really, our ability to be able to do what we do is just that we know exactly the top priorities for ourselves, and we hyper-focus on those things rather than trying to do like 30 things at once, which gets you in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, going a mile deep rather than a mile long and only an inch deep, right? So, you know, you can really, you know, drive the impact that you want. But I really like, you know, the fact that you're focusing on doing less, but doing it really well. You know, I think that that's really effective, and, you know, try to incorporate that into my own work, where I'm like, I want to work a little bit less, and then I'll just work on the things that matter rather than working longer hours and working on stuff that doesn't matter. So I think that's important.
Yes.
Going back to, you know, sort of those early days, are there some of the things that are sort of foundational to your marketing that were created in those, you know, sort of more guerrilla or on the ground tactics, where you said you were like, you know, at the different venues and, you know, promoting the products? You know, how are some of those things now foundational to how you market, even though it's at a different scale and maybe more widely known internationally across the world rather than, you know, maybe the local area?
Yeah, I mean, oddly enough, the further we get, the closer we get to how we used to be. It's just kind of funny. I don't know if that's for
interesting.
Everyone. You kind of go through this evolution where you think, well, moving forward means changing and all this progress, and you have to like keep doing new things and inventing new products and stuff. But then you kind of go in this circle where you kind of come back to your origin, and you're like, oh, this is what was important to people, and this is what they really liked, and this is how we even saw hope in this brand. And so we need to start getting back into that. And so we've kind of done this large circle, especially when we did our rebrand. We kind of lost our way a little bit, like just kind of lost our identity for a little while there. And we got it back, and we realized like what was important. And the one thing that we're doing a lot in marketing right now, which is something that we really celebrated in the beginning days, was obsessing over design and obsessing over how the product makes you feel, not so much like getting into the technical features of the socks. Like, yes, the socks are highly technical, and I could probably, you know, do a TED talk on why these socks are superior, but most people don't truly care a lot about the technical side. What they really care about is the vibrant, bold designs that they can use to like express themselves and how they'll feel when they wear them. They can accessorize their outfit. the really nice, simple photography of our products and letting this product speak for themselves. So we kind of lost our way a little bit and we got almost too nerdy with the socks and almost talked about them as though they were like this science experiment. And the reality being that most people, although they appreciate the technical features of the socks and maybe they even expect it, it's not the driving factor of why they wear the socks. Most people like the designs. They put them on and then they go, oh my God, these are actually really comfortable. They last, they're my feet aren't sweating. And so that's the technical side's more of an afterthought. So that's definitely the one thing that we've kind of captured back again, is just getting back to talking about the design of it.
Yeah, really cool. And it is interesting, you know, you said how you feel about the socks. I kind of smiled when you said that. I'm like, man, when I pick up my socks that I'm going to wear, I do kind of go based on like my mood or like, you know, what activity I'm taking on. You know, and it is really an expression. And that's what I love about, you know, putting on these socks and showing them off, right?
Yeah, it's like this decision process in the morning. You'd be surprised when people choose their socks based on the outfit. And a lot of times your outfit reflects how you feel. Oh, I want to have a cozier day in the office and drink a coffee. I'm going to wear my hoodie and I'm going to wear my Lulu pants. And then, okay, now I'm wearing all black. I'm going to maybe like contrast it with this, you know, design. So it really is a part of that decision process, which is kind of cool. So we try to tap into that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you've been talking about focus and you've been talking about the product and, you know, how things have changed and evolved. Can you talk about product focus? Because I know there was a while there where there was sunglasses and buffs or, you know, expanding the product. Have you, you know, where are you at with that? And, you know, is that working? Is that something you're looking at as a part of a growth strategy?
Yeah, that's probably been the biggest roller coaster of lessons since I've been around, is that you kind of get into this this mode where you feel like, well, the only way to grow is to expand, you know, horizontally on products and add more, and we need to sell our customers more things and sunglasses and toques and hats and stuff. And you know, a lot of people think it's really cool, and we do develop good versions of those products, but the thing is like, people really like us for our socks. That's what they love about us. And so the second you start developing things like underwear and sunglasses, you're immediately competing with other brands that have such a huge piece of that space. And then now you're spreading the marketing team so thin, because now we're having to focus on, you know, sunglasses and hats and shirts and all these things. And so it's not really worth it when you actually see the revenue that's being driven by those products. And most people are almost buying them as merchandise, not actual thoughtful items. Like, at least that's what we experienced, was, you know, people bought the sunglasses. They're like, oh, cool, I love Outway. Like, I'll add this to my cart. It wasn't so much like, oh, I'm looking for a really good sunglass. I'm going to look for sunglasses. And oh, it looks like Outway has, you know, really, really good ones. It was just kind of this afterthought. And so we've kind of gone through the process of like adding different products and then coming back to socks and adding different products and coming back to socks. And so now we're at a part in the brand where we are just solely obsessing over socks. And that's all we're going to focus on until we reach a certain amount of like revenue per year, until we can actually expand properly. Because when you add new products to your line, it's actually like, it's starting a new business within the business. It's a completely different business and brand. And we just don't have the size of team for that. And at our size, it doesn't make any sense, because there's still so much room for us to grow in the sock space. There's huge opportunity there. And honestly, I think it's kind of cool to be a singular company that just focuses on one product and does it well. And that's the part that we own. We own the real estate of your foot, and that's okay.
Yeah, the real estate of your foot. I like that. That's interesting. I wanted to ask you about referral program, ambassador program, influencers, and if that is something that plays a part in your strategy or how you're using or not using those types of tactics.
Yeah, we have done like referral and affiliate in the past. I think it was a good lesson for us on simplification as well. Last year, about halfway through the year, we went through a major subtraction part of the brand, where we were really putting everything on the chopping block and being like, does this make sense? Is this growing the brand? Why are we doing it? And that we had affiliate at the time. It was a cool program. The developers were great. We had a good relationship with them. It, you know, it was very cool. But at the same time, when you really were looking into the numbers, it wasn't driving meaningful growth for the brand based on how much we were having to spend time working on it. And the realization there is just, it's product based. A lot of brands and different products do really well with affiliate and referral. They're products that are meant for that, you know, things that people would want a really good deal on. But socks is one of those things where we found, like when we were doing post-purchase surveys for our customers, we asked them, like, you know, how did you find out about us? And a lot of them were saying, I was referred by a friend. And so to us, that was like this signal that we should be incentivizing that behavior even further. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that people don't really care so much about getting a $10 PayPal, you know, gift card or whatever that is for sharing socks with someone. Most people's currency for sharing something is just being known as a reliable plug to their friends. Hey, these are really good socks. And it's like, that person gets the socks and comes back and says, yeah, you were right. They were great. Thanks. I appreciate that hookup. It's not really about, you know, attaching money to it. And, you know, we are going to be building a referral link into the account side of our store, just so people who do really want to share it can. But for the most part, we're not spending a lot of energy on affiliate. It just wasn't driving meaningful traffic. And we diverted all that focus towards just filling the top of our funnel with people and then allowing them to share on their own organically, because most people are doing that. If you have a really good product or like something that people genuinely like, there, you don't typically need affiliate built behind it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's really interesting, sort of the currency behind the motivation of a referral, right? Because I want to think about that myself. And if I was getting paid for it, I would almost feel like I'm selling, and I'm almost be less likely to make that genuine introduction to the product.
Yeah, it doesn't feel real for me. Like I bought a cold plunge, and I think at one point they sent me an email saying, hey, share this with your friends. And I actually referred that product to probably 6 or 7 people. And I think maybe 3 or 4 purchased it. And I made another purchase with that brand. And I in my mind, I was not really, oh, I should have used my link. It would feel weird telling someone, hey, I'm benefiting from this product here. Just a second. Let me send you a URL. You have to shop through this thing. Then it feels like you're not actually, you know, sharing something you really like. You're just sharing it because you know you're going to benefit on the back end of it. It's my personal opinion. I know there are a lot of brands that do well with affiliate and referral. I would argue that if they look through their numbers, they would probably, you know, not see as good of results as they're saying they have. But yeah, it just wasn't really meant for us at the time, maybe down the road, but that's the way we think of it right now.
Yeah. Interesting. Thanks for sharing that. What are some of the challenges that people may not know about a business like this, or may not have seen, that would be helpful to share, and challenges centered around, you know, driving growth specifically?
Yeah, I would say, and I have very little to do with this because I'm on the marketing side. I'm not on the operational or logistics side, or even so much the actual high level business side. Is just like understanding your costs and your ins and outs. It does affect marketing on the very, like, on the finish line, so to speak. But like the one challenge that I would say with most businesses is that they don't actually understand their numbers. And, you know, they're buying product and they're selling it, but there's all of this stuff going on in between that they have very little context on. And then they're almost waiting till the end of the month or the end of the quarter to be like, hey, did we make money? Okay, what's going on in our business? What's happening? And it's too late at that point. You know, they're making mistakes 60 days previous to that that they could have been fixing. And so you can't really manage what you're not measuring. And if you're not measuring your business every single day, you're not going to be able to find what's not working and what's working. You should have a spreadsheet. Like, we have a spreadsheet that has like almost every single statistic on our brand, like all the way down to net profits and losses and our margins and AOV. And like, I could go on with all these acronyms, and every single day before we start work, it gets put into the sheet. And then we find out what happened the day before. And if anything in that table turns red, we investigate it and go, what happened? And we try to fix it. So a lot of brands don't do this, and they get into a lot of trouble because it's, by the time they find the mistake, it's over for them. And not a lot of brands have a ton of runway. Like, you know, we've been quite profitable, so we can, you know, afford to take some hits, but a lot of brands in the beginning don't have a lot of runway. And so you can't afford to not know everything that's going on.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that, you know, someone in marketing said, you know, keep an eye on your data and your metrics and know everything ins and outs. It's not just about creative and, you know, cute messaging and stuff. It's about the numbers,
What, yeah,
really
you're a
determines
business.
where you
Like,
can grow.
it's a business. You have to survive. And like, yes, of course, brand is important. And of course, messaging and your mission and all those things. But at the end of the day, like, what's really cool is staying in business. And what's really cool is making profits so you can hire more people and you can pay people more and you can have a bigger team and have more fun and afford better office culture and things like that. That's what's really cool, not trying to look cool and then dying after 8 months.
Yeah, absolutely. Love it. I love how you said that too. What are you most excited about? You know, what's coming up in the pipeline, or what are you most excited about, you know, taking on in the near future?
Two things. One, we've already launched, but we're launching more of it, is we've launched Merino wool, and our Merino wool sock is the best sock I've ever put on my foot, period. It's like,
Interesting.
it does really well with my biology, I suppose. I don't know. I love it. It stays cool when it's hot out. It stays warm when it's cold out. It's very temperature regulating. It's comfy. I love the simple designs. The way that I dress myself, they just so happen to, it goes well with my shoes and clothes. I love Merino. I'm a big fan of it, and I'm really excited to expand. And the second one being that we're going to be going into Amazon this year. We've
Oh.
talked about it for years, but again, we tried to focus on, you know, Meta and things like that. So it's been a while since we've actually introduced a new sales channel. And so we'll be going into Amazon probably closer to Q3 this year, which is super exciting. Yeah, we don't know exactly what to expect, but I'm very optimistic about it. I think it's going to be a huge stream of revenue almost immediately. I think we'll add seven figures in sales like right off the gate, just, you know, in Canada, I think. So I'm super optimistic and excited about it. I don't know much about Amazon, so I'm having to listen a lot, and take a lot of notes and try to understand it all. But yeah, we'll be doing that shortly.
Awesome. That's really exciting. It does make me curious as to why you didn't do it sooner.
Yeah, that's probably the conversation that will happen once we start doing well on it. We'll go, why didn't we do this before? That's, you know, that happens a lot in business. But at the same time, the decisions that led us to not doing it in the past made sense in the moment, and hindsight's, you know, super 2020, and you can look back and go, why didn't we do that? But, you know, in the moment it wasn't the right call. And I guess actually the third thing that I'm excited about would be, we'll be rolling. We don't do a lot of wholesale or retail, but we are starting to get into it. So we'll be in every mech store in the
Oh,
next
cool.
month or so. And we'll be on all the BC ferries, which is kind of cool too.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing those things and those insights. And Taylor, thanks so much for joining me on the podcast here today. It's great to learn more about Outway and how you've grown, and all of your perspective and experience. So thanks for sharing that. Where can people learn more about you or the company and connect with you on social media maybe?
Yeah, I'm not like the biggest on social media. I'm on Twitter. That's where I do most of, like, that's all my work related stuff. You can find posts. I post threads in there, cool learnings about Shopify, things like that. My handle is Tay Frays, so it's TayFrays. And you can find me on there. Come say feel free to say hi and message me. I'm always open and happy to help anyone out. And that's pretty much it. And you can find us at outway.com. outway.com, and feel free to have a look at our socks.
Awesome. Yeah, I was on there earlier today, and I'm going to go back on there. I got to get a few new pairs, and there's some awesome designs there. So I highly recommend the socks myself, and I really appreciate you joining me on the podcast today and sharing your story and Outway story. So thanks a lot, Taylor.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Bye for now, everyone.